I'm sure you noticed by now that the altar has been brought forward. In the late 70s, after Vatican II, it was decided that they went back to theology and decided that it was no longer the priest who was the intercessor between God and the people, and the back would be turned so that they could pray for you on your behalf. Rather, the service became one of the people, that together the priest and the people together prayed together to God, that you did not need an intercessor, and that all prayers mattered. And so at this time of Lent, it's a time that we are to be uncomfortable. So changes are happening, and bringing the altar forward is a reminder that we are here together to say prayers and to be one with Christ in Christ's body. And as I was reading the gospel of Jesus and what happened after the baptism, he went in the wilderness. Mark kind of short changes us a little bit about the story. You get a little bit more about what happened with him and Satan in that desert for 40 days. But I was reminded of a child's story where the wild things are. I bet some of you have read that either to your children or grandchildren. But it's a story about little Max. Little Max put on a wolf's clothing and then went to terrorize his family and the family cat. Being punished, he was sent to his bedroom without dinner. And in that bedroom, things happened. His room transformed and he ended up on a ship and going to a foreign land where all the beasts were. And there he had to face those beasts. And he tamed them. How much was that like Christ, who was faced with Satan and was said three things he was promised: fortune, fame, and all the land in the world, if he would just bow down to Satan. And you know, all of us have that part of us where our ego gets in our own way. And there are things that we want for ourselves that may not be in the best for others around us. And so at this time of Lent, we also must go into that wilderness. We must go and face the beast within ourselves that get in the way of us being in relationship with God. That little thing we hold on to, that one little thing that we say, well, it's okay if I'm like this. Or that one moment when we find ourselves uncharitable towards somebody else and say, but, you know, they deserve it. All of that. This is the time where we're to go inward and face our own beasts and tame them. And these are troubling times. But as a reading of Genesis and the flood, they were troubling times then. People weren't living right. They weren't living in good relationship with God. There was evil. And then at Jesus' time, he also was dealing with the demons and the evilness around and the greed and the selfishness and the self-righteousness of others. And today, we also are dealing with evil. Just last week with the last mass murder in Florida of children. And we have to look at ourselves and say, where were we when laws changed? Where were we? I have been in social work 45 years, and I could have predicted this. Because I saw in the 70s when they closed the mental health hospitals and promised that they would do better by putting people in the neighborhoods, in their community, but did not give them the money or the services needed. I was there when they closed the mental health hospitals for children. And I went to a meeting with Haverman at the time. And I said, what about mental health services for children? And in front of 600 people that day, he said, you have to understand, mental health services are not an entitlement in Michigan. In other words, we don't have to pay for it. And I was there as a director of a children's agency working with delinquents and mental health kids And they would bring in a mental health child who they said, cure that child in 3 months, which previously would have taken 2 or 3 years in a mental health hospital to help turn them around and get them stabilized. It's about money. It's about where we put our resources. And what are we doing to make a difference? We can pray. It isn't enough. It isn't enough as Christians. We have to be able to stand for those who have no voices. For those children. We can no longer let our nation live in fear and greed and anger. As I look at the young man whose mother died and was taken in by his friend's parents, he was an angry person. He was soulless. The anger and fear and whatever has turned him into an empty soul, he is not alone. And we must find ways of reaching those with love. I don't have answers. 45 years I've been in social work. I can't give you answers. I can only tell you that we need to do better. I just know when I saw the changes. When we saw in the 70s the games kids were playing, murders on those games, and we knew then that they would be numb to violence. Well, we were numbing the children. We were numbing the people to what violence was. When I was working with delinquents and they decided to do wraparound services in Wayne County and leave them in their homes and just bring services in, and they said then that this was a throwaway generation. So I wasn't surprised when kids started killing kids. When they changed the drug law in Michigan that if somebody was found with so many ounces of an illegal drug, it would be life imprisonment. That was when they put the drugs in the hands of children. Previous to that, children were not allowed to touch drugs. And once children started being the carriers, the mules of the drugs, that's when the guns went in the children's hands to protect the money and to protect the drugs. So we have to be careful about what laws we support in this nation and in this state. Because everything impacts something else. And it breaks my heart. Because my last years working in child welfare, I saw children sicker and children with empty souls that we could not reach. We must do better. We must do better as a nation. We must do better as a people. We must look seriously at what we can do as Christians. But God gave us rainbows and God gave us hope. And God promised us more through the death of Jesus. And so it is that as we examine our own selves these 40 days, and as we clear away our own debris and make ourselves lighter, it's that light that we have to shine. It's that light we have to share with the world and say, there is more. There is a promise. And we have to find a way to embrace those who have nothing so they don't feel isolated and alone. And find a way to reach the soulless. Prayers help. I'm not saying they don't. But we also need to examine, when did we keep silent when we should have opened our mouths? When did we stop and hold back when we could have moved forward? When did we finally say, it's enough? It's time that we do something together to make a difference in this world. Again, prayers are not enough. It's time that we also, as Christians, take action. And I can't tell you what that action is. I can only tell you we must examine together, individually and as a community, to say, what is Jesus asking us to do? What is God asking us to do? We don't need to lose any more souls. We don't need to have more innocent children die. More teachers have to stand between a child and a gun. We need to make a difference. And let it be known, Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, all of those who stood up, a single voice can make a difference. Your voice is important. So at this time of Lent, let us pray together as a community that we listen to God for what it is that God's asking us to do in this time when a world is full of evil and anger and hatred and fear. Amen.